This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Habib. My age is 9 years old. सुबह 6 बजे उठता हूँ, मैं सिपारा पढ़ने जाता हूँ। सिपारा आज ही मैं नाश्ता करके चला जाता हूँ कबाड़ चुनने। कबाड़ ले आता हूँ, आज ही खंडे में भेज देता हूँ। ₹100-200 हो जाते, मैं अबू को दे देता हूँ, कभी मैं भी रख देता हूँ, शौक से मैं मलाई खा देता हूँ। अगर कोई आस पास स्कूल मिल गया तो मैं दाखिल होना चाहता हूँ, पढ़ना चाहता हूँ। मैं बड़ा होकर फिर फौजी अफसर बनना चाहता हूँ। अस्सलाम वालेकुम, मेरा नाम है।
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Brothers, sisters, hope you're well. Hope the fast is going well. Now today, wherever you may be, you will be alhamdulillah fasting. And welcome to the third episode of khushu in salah. So yesterday we went over a few ways of attaining khushu, and I detailed the categories mentioned by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayh, the five categories. Today I also want to go through five kind of categories of people who pray salah, which is slightly different to what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayh mentioned. I also want, in both cases, for those who have taken notes over my yesterday's lesson, I want you to go through the five categories which I mentioned, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayh. If you weren't present yesterday, then I'm sure you can see it on demand, and see which category you fall into. This was really interesting. Why? Because after Taraweeh Salah, I had some brothers come to me who had watched it, and they said, and they were so speaking, they were, Sheikh, this is the category that we fall in, and this is the category that we fall in, and how can we improve? So today, inshallah, I'm going to speak about those people who, five categories. So the first category is that person who prays all his salah, does everything which is required regarding salah, but also he prays in the masjid and he prays with khushu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding these people, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتٍ يُحَافِظُونَ. So he prays in the masjid and he prays with khushu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these are the people who safeguard their prayer. So this is a great honor that we endeavor, that we pray in the masjid. The second person is a person also prays in the masjid. But unlike the first one, this second one has no khushu in his prayer. So he goes to the masjid, he makes the effort of going to the masjid, but he has no khushu in his prayer. Regarding this is the person who Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu once said, he said there are people who pray salah from childhood to old age. They become old in Islam, but none of their salahs are accepted. There's no reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, how Amir al-Mu'mineen? So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said that they pray without khushu. They pray without khushu. I want to just give some of the examples of the Salafus Salihin, the elders who would pray. And you have, subhanAllah, people like this even today, who would pray with khushu. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullah alayhi, said regarding Mansur ibn Mu'tamir, he said when he would pray, it was like time had stood still. There was no limit for his salah. He would carry on with his salah. Thabit Bunani says regarding Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, for those who don't know who Abdullah bin Zubair is, Abdullah bin Zubair was the son of Zubair ibn al-Awwam and also the son of Asma radiallahu anha, she was the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And they say that Abdullah had learnt his salah from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And they say that when Abdullah bin Zubair would pray his salah, he would stand in his salah like he was a stick. He wouldn't move. He would be so engrossed in his salah. The period where he was martyred, he was besieged in the Kaaba. And what they did is that they placed catapults on the mountains around the Kaaba. And these catapults had large rocks with fire on them. And the narrations mention that he was praying his salah and one of the rocks fell, a piece broke away, and that piece went between his beard and his chest. And he didn't even realize. He was so engrossed in his salah. As we mentioned yesterday, the fifth category of salah, that you lay your heart in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your every motion and you are so engrossed in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as though you see Him. And if you don't see Him, that though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. And this is why, brothers and sisters, you know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the first thing, khushu, this is how important khushu is, that the first thing which will be lifted is khushu, la ilaha illallah. And you will enter, the Messenger of Allah said, you will enter the masjid and you will not find one person who is praying with khushu. Imagine this. Subhanallah, the Messenger of Allah prophesies this. You will enter a masjid and the masjid will be full and it will be these beautiful masjids, multi-million pound masjids, not like the masjid in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the ceiling barely exceeded the head of those who were praying, where the floor was made out of no fancy carpet, just sand. When you went into sajda, your face would be covered with sand and dust. But these small, dark, made out of unbaked clay masajid were mamlu' bil khushu, were full with khushu. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a time will come that you will enter a masjid, that the first thing that which will be lifted from my ummah will be khushu, that you will enter a masjid and there will be not one person who has khushu. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu added to this, and Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was very interesting because he was the secret keeper of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah would tell him all the secrets. He knew the names of the munafiqeen. He said, the first thing which will be lifted will be khushu. And the last thing which will be taken is salah. So there will be a gap between the khushu and the salah. Now, often when we hear these kind of narration, we start thinking, "All right, that's why I have no khushu in my salah, because this is prophesied by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, I have no khushu. I mean, it's out of my hands. You know, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden the soul by past its abilities. It was meant to be. There's nothing I can do. No. That's not how you look at the Qadr Allah. The reason the Messenger of Allah mentioned these signs, the negative signs, is that you and I are aware of them, and therefore we change our circumstance. So if we don't have khushu in our salah, we endeavor to pray with khushu. So that's the second person who goes to the masjid, but has no khushu in his salah. The third person is who prays, like many of us, and may Allah safeguard us, because many of us are lazy on this point. It is that he prays, but he prays at home, or she prays at home. Well, she can pray at home, for sisters there's rukhsa, but a brother, he prays at home. So he can go to the masjid, but he doesn't bother praying in Jama'ah, he prays at home. Look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very emphatic about praying in the masjid. May Allah give us all tawfiq to pray salah with Jama'ah. Sometimes, you know, we make excuses. Oh, but I am busy. There was no man busier than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he still made time to go and pray in the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for those who didn't attend the Fajr salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, I feel like making somebody else stand where I am praying. You mean somebody else lead the prayer. And then I take a group of youth and I go and burn the homes of those who have not attended the Fajr Salah in Jama'ah. La ilaha illallah. Allah safeguard us. Allah gives tawfiq to pray our Salah in the masjid with khushu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very, he emphasized greatly on the fact that a person should pray his salah in the masjid. So Sayyid al-Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi Sayyid, he says, for 30 years when the adhan was given, I was in the masjid. For 30 years, subhanAllah, not that I was there for the takbir al-ula, and I mentioned Sayyid ibn Musayyib in the first darts. This man was Sayyid al-Tabi'een. He was known as one of the greatest scholars. He stayed in the company of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu and others. And he says, for 30 years, wallahi, you marvel at this. But honestly, you know, I have actually seen people, whilst I was studying in Pakistan, there was a general, retired general, who was becoming an alim at the age of about 60, and he hadn't missed his takbir-e ula for years. I can't recall it exactly, but for years. And he was around about 60, he was becoming an alim. Imagine this. Sayyid ibn Musayyib said, for 30 years, La ilaha illallah, when the adhan was given, I was in the masjid. The Qadi of Sham, Sulaiman al-Maqdisi, says that I only prayed for salah in my entire life twice. Only twice. One of the salaf, called Abdullah bin Umar al-Qwariri, he says, I had some visitors, and these visitors came, and I got very preoccupied with these visitors, and I missed my Isha Salah. So he said, I went to all the masjids around Basra to find if there was any masjid where I could pray my Salah with Jama'ah, because I found none. All of them were closed, all of them had prayed. He said, I came back home, and I remembered the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who prays his salah in Jama'ah, he will get 27 times the reward. So he says, what I did that day was I prayed my Isha salah 27 times. Because I went to sleep. I saw in a dream that I'm with a group of people, and these group of people are riding horses, and I'm riding a horse. But he goes, my horse cannot catch these people up. They're leaving me behind. He said, one of them turned around to me and he said, no matter how many salahs, so this is a dream he's having. And in his dream he said, that person turned around and he said, no matter how many salahs you pray individually, even you pray hundreds, you will never make up that one salah that you missed in Jama'ah. One of the Salaf says that for 40 years, la ilaha illallah, for 40 years, I did not miss my salah with Jama'ah. He said, the only day I missed my one salah with Jama'ah was the day my mother passed away. Other than that, for 40 years, I never missed my salah with Jama'ah. SubhanAllah, look at where these people are. And therefore, brothers, even if you are praying at home, you should still gather the family and pray with the family. And this is what the Messenger of Allah would do. If he ever came to the masjid and he had missed the salah, he wouldn't still forego the virtue of salah with Jama'ah. He would go home, he would gather his wife, he would gather his children, and then he would pray salah with Jama'ah. So this is the third category, that person who prays salah at home. The fourth category is that person who doesn't pray his Fajr Salah. And look at the warning regarding this. The Prophet ﷺ said that I saw a dream where two people were taking me. They came and they woke me up and they took me. And we passed two people. One man who was lying down and another man who had a rock. And he was dropping the rock on the head of this person. And it would devastate, crush his head, and then it would go back to its normal state. And I asked, who are these two people? They said, carry. He said, at the end of the journey, they said to me, do you know who those two people were? He said, the person whose head was being crushed was that person who forwent the teachings of the Quran and who did not wake up for Fajr Salah. Fajr Salah. This is the wa'id mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is the fourth person. And the fifth person is the one who doesn't pray salah. Who doesn't pray salah at all. Who very occasionally prays salah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the only thing between us which differentiates a believer and a disbeliever is salah. And although the ulama give this they don't take it literally, but still the opinions on this narration are very harsh. Very, very harsh. Some scholars actually take it literally. And therefore, brothers, this is the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ If anybody is watching this and you're not praying your five-time salah, start your five-time salah. Start your five-time salah. Become people who understand that look how graceful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Wallahi, how can we not pray salah? Now how can a believer not pray salah when every favor that we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا If you were to enumerate the favors of Allah. No, Allah doesn't say favors. If you were to enumerate one favor of Allah, you would never be able to encompass them. Allah doesn't say favors. And I want you to do a bit of homework, please, brothers and sisters. What I want you to do is study the eye, just the favor of the eye, and see how complex the eye is. This is why Allah doesn't say if you were to enumerate the favors. Allah said if you were to enumerate the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not be able to encompass it. Allah, believers don't pray salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still gracious to that person. Wallahi, a person comes to Allah tawbah in the day, Allah accepts. A person comes to do tawbah to Allah at night time, Allah accepts. A person comes a handspan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes at arm's length. A person comes walking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes running to that person. La ilaha illallah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith of Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said says that man swears at me. Man swears at me. And it's not befitting that he swears at me. And that swearing is that he says that I have a child. And I am Allah the Ahad, the Samad, Lam Yalid wa Lam Yulad wa Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad. Brothers, all these favors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us messengers, He sends us books, He gives us all these favors. And we still can't pray our five times salah. Five times salah, 24 hours, will be about 50 minutes of your entire day. We can't give Allah 50 minutes of our entire day. And if there is any time we can encompass this and start our prayer, it's the month of Ramadan. When you are hungry the whole day, if you can go hungry the whole day, you can give 50 minutes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, if you're one of those who prays three salahs, four salahs, alhamdulillah, but no, it's not good enough. Allah wants five salahs. And you've heard the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now let me move on to the next thing. There's a couple of questions here. What can we do to have more concentration in salah? Actually, I'll go over this at the end. Okay, both of these questions, I'll go over at the end. If anybody has more questions, please fire away. Okay, so now I want to, which I call, that we preparing for the activity before the activity. Preparing for the salah before the salah. And this is not something that I am concocting, but this is something mentioned in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when a person does wudu and he leaves to go to the masjid for salah, so he does wudu at home, he leaves to go to the masjid for salah, then he should not thrust his fingers between in each other, because indeed he inserted salah. Because indeed, he is in salah. Subhanallah. Look at this with the mindset that the deen is creating of a believer. You've done wudu at home, and you're walking towards the masjid, and because you are, the hadith forbids a person to thrust his fingers in salah whilst he's praying salah, also you adopt the same mannerisms whilst you are going to the masjid. This is ajeeb. So for us, even come Ramadan, walking to the masjid, fag in the mouth, you walk into the masjid, you walk into the masjid and you smell like an ashtray. Look at the hadith. You walk into the masjid and you see your friend, bro, how are you? And then all the nonsense starts to blurt out from your mouth, all the buqwasat. The hadith says that if you are walking to the masjid, you are as though you are in salah. Don't even thrust your fingers in each other. Remain in dhikr. If you're going to speak about something good. Look after your eyesight like you would do in salah. So look, subhanAllah, even before you go to the masjid, you walk into the masjid, you're in a mindset. Why? Because you are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha says that she was asked, what was the Messenger of Allah like at home? She said, كان في مهنة أهله. He was helping the family like any other husband. But when the adhan would be given, it was as though he no longer knew us. Then his color would change. Why? Because now he's going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's start now. We started when we walk into the masjid. What about wudu? Wudu. So the general thing is wudu. We do wudu quickly. The wudu is done. No concentration. No. The hadith speaks about that wudu is an ibadah. Wudu is the preparation for the salah. So the hadith mentions, Uthman radiallahu anhu says, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من توضأ فأحسن الوضوء. Whoever does wudu, فأحسن الوضوء. But not only does he do wudu, he does a good wudu. He perfects that wudu. He does that wudu well. Look, subhanAllah. The hadith could have easily said, whoever does wudu, carry on. No, after mentioning doing wudu, فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءُ, then he does that wudu well, then he, all his sins begin to fall from his body. And in one narration it says, until even those which are under his nail. And in one narration it mentions that until the final drop is dropping from his body, or the sins are dropping with those drops. So brothers and sisters, look, wudu is an ibadah. When you start your wudu, read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you have a miswak, use a miswak. If you don't have a miswak, use a toothbrush. If you don't have a toothbrush, use your finger. Clean your mouth. Concentrate whilst you are doing wudu, because wudu is an ibadah. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once did wudu and he was smiling. So one of the Sahaba saw him and they said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you smiling? Sorry, no. Umar did wudu and he was smiling. So they saw him smiling. Uthman radiallahu anhu saw him smiling, but he didn't ask why he's smiling. So Umar said, ask me why I am smiling. So he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you smiling? He said, because I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once doing wudu, like I just done wudu, and the Messenger of Allah was smiling, and I didn't ask him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why don't you ask me why I'm smiling, O Umar? So I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you smiling? He said, because when a believer brings wudu water to do wudu, he brings the water, and he washes his face, all the sins which he did with his face, his eyes, his tongue, everything, they all wash away. When he washes his arm, all those sins that he did with his arms are washed away. When he washes his feet, all those sins that he done with his feet, he performed with his feet, are all washed away. And this is why, you know, the deen loves a person who does, the hadith mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person who does wudu in great difficulty. If you have to go through difficulty, it's cold, you know, you can't find water, you have to go far, but you go, then that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let me just mention this final thing. This is ajib, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he entered the graveyard and he gave salam to the graveyard. And he says that people will come, who will come after me. And they will wish that they could see me. And they will wish so much that they could see me, that they would give their families and their wealth and their lives to see me. And they are my brothers. The Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, aren't we your brothers? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, you are my Sahaba. But these are the people that I will meet on the Day of Judgment. The Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, how will you recognize them? You've never seen them. The Prophet ﷺ said, look at this virtue of wudu, my brothers and sisters. And this is why, look, if we want a salah with khushu, we need to start from the beginning. Our wudu needs to be done well. It can't be just going into no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, no dua, no concentration. Wash. And imagine, whilst you are washing your face, all the sins that you have done with your face are being washed away. When you are washing your arms, imagine that drop. Look at those drops. Every drop which is dropping down, your sins are dropping with those drops. SubhanAllah. When you wash your feet, every step you took towards haram, inshallah, is all being forgiven. Although some scholars say minor sins, but inshallah, your sins are being forgiven that you have performed. So the Prophet, they asked the Messenger of Allah, How will you recognize them on the day of judgment, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, have you ever seen a group of black, total black horses? And amongst them are these horses which are ghurru muhajjilin. Ghurru muhajjilun are those horses which have white here, white stripes here, and white stripes around their feet. He said, have you ever seen them? He said, yes. He said, this is how I will recognize my brothers. Because they will have the signs of wudu. The places where they did wudu will glow. And I will know that they are my companions. And I will meet them upon the hold. SubhanAllah. They are my brothers and I will meet them upon the hold. So this is the virtue of wudu. So brothers and sisters, you want khushu in salah? Start with the wudu. After you finish your wudu, you read, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. So you read this dua. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the One, and there is no equal unto Him. And I witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and his messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after doing wudu, when a person reads a dua, all the eight doors of Jannah open. Imagine. You want khushu? Next time you do wudu, do it in a good manner, and then envisage. Then imagine. When you read the dua, you read this dua, and when you read this, you proclaim this, and all the eight doors of Jannah open, and you can enter in any one that you wish. Also dua, Allahumma ja'alni min al-tawabin, wa ja'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Oh Allah, make me amongst the people who do tawbah, and make me amongst those who purify themselves. This is here, you just purified yourself. So why tawbah? Why tawbah? Because what wudu does, it cleanses. Listen, it cleanses the limbs, so you are mutatahhirin, but it also cleanses the heart. Understand one very, very important asool, and this is also related to khushu. You have the action of the limbs, so you do your wudu, which is obviously opening. But the virtue of the action of the limbs is connected to the state of your heart. The stronger your connection with the heart, the more you are engrossed in that action, the greater your reward. The more ikhlas, the more khushu, the more sincerity, the more concentration, the more devotion you have, the greater your reward for wudu will be. Look at Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 23 years, lived another year and a half, 25 years. But the iman of Abu Bakr is heavier than the rest of the ummah. The actions of Abu Bakr. People prayed more salah than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. People gave more sadaqah than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. They lived quite, because they lived longer than he did. So why the virtue? Because see, when he gave that sadaqah, that connection from here to here was so strong that nobody else in this ummah had that connection. La ilaha illallah. That's it. You have the action of the limb, but the virtue of that action of that limb is connected to this. Look, a person can give £1 million in the path of Allah apparently, but he's doing it for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets no reward. And a person gives a penny in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's connected, that penny he gives, but he's giving it with sincerity. That's all he has. Or maybe he only has 2 pence, and he's giving that. That is maqbool in the Allah, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, look, sometimes these small things like wudu, etc., we overlook how important they are. No, wallahi, never overlook. The Messenger of Allah, when he went into Miraj, he came back and he said, where's Bilal? He said, Bilal, tell me. Tell me the reason. I want to know the reason. For I was just in Jannah last night. وَسَمِيْتُ خَشْحَشَتَكَ وَسَمِيْتُ خَشْحَشَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He said, I heard your footsteps in Jannah, O Bilal. I heard your footsteps in Jannah. How come you were in Jannah? Who was Bilal? Now let me say, who was Bilal? One of the early. You know the persecution of Bilal. If you don't know the persecution of Bilal, listen to my talk on the life of Bilal radiallahu anhu. So I get reward for you listening to my Bilal as well. Yeah. Who Bilal? The persecution of Bilal. Bilal, the man who was in every single jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mu'adhin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man who Abu Bakr bought and freed, and he would say, Sayyidi Bilal, the man who Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, Abu Bakr Sayyiduna wa ataqa Sayyidina. Abu Bakr is our master, and he freed our master Bilal. He's done all these virtues. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tell me, O Bilal, what's the reason I heard your footsteps in Jannah ahead of me? Bilal goes, only thing I can think is, he doesn't speak about his persecution, his jihad, his adhan. He said, you know, every time my wudu breaks, I do my wudu again. I stay in constantly in the state of wudu, and I read 2 rakat tahiyyatul wudu. He said, that's the only thing. The Prophet ﷺ was, Allah informed the Prophet ﷺ through wahi that was the reason. He said, yes, that is the reason. Subhanallah. Something you and I will regard as small. No, wallahi, it's not small. You know why? Because there is no big things in the deen without the small things. And I say this, and I say this, you know, we have activists who like from morning to evening running around for the deen, and apparently they're running around for the deen. And come salah time, they delay their salah right to the end. There's no khushu in their salah. They never read Quran. They know dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you running around from morning to evening? Do you enjoy it? Do you get paid for it? Is that why you're doing it? Does it give you status? Does it give you an ego? Does it give you a boost? Because the most important thing is your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The likes of myself, you know, we give talks, people pat us on our back, they say, oh Shaykh, amazing talk, you know. These are all apparent. Only Allah knows even if they will be accepted. What will be accepted was the 2 rakat that Bilal prayed, where nobody was watching when he did wudu tahiyatul masjid. So this is my nasiha, and I want to share this with my brothers and sisters. That look, brothers, especially those who are very active in the community, may Allah make you more active, but understand, if you are not getting the khushu in your prayer, if you don't have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if all our actions are in front of people, then only Allah knows if they will be accepted. But let me tell you what will be accepted, is those 2 rakat that you pray when nobody is watching, that Quran that you read that nobody is watching, that dhikr that you are doing when nobody else is watching. So, inshallah, that is the importance of wudu. So, wudu leading up to the takbir-e-tahreem, and which is the Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So now you stand, you face the Qibla, and you say, Allahu Akbar. Allah the greatest. You can translate it, Allah the greatest. Some scholars don't like that because then you are comparing Allah with other things. Others say Allah is great and that's all they prefer. And I don't want to go into the scholarly discussion regarding this. But what I do want to talk about is the khushu. So imagine, you stand up in prayer. You're facing the Qibla. And you say, Allah Akbar, Allah the greatest. You raise your hands as though you are pushing everything behind you, and only Allah is your now focus. And you push it back and you say, Allah Akbar, Allah, you are the great. You are greater than everything else. Nothing compares with you. You know, subhanallah, how often we say Allahu Akbar, and we say with our tongue something, Allah, you are the greatest, Allah, you are great, and then our mind is thinking for something else. Our mind is somewhere else. You just said with your tongue, Allah, you are great. You are greater than everything else. And then your mind is in Asda. Umar ibn Khattab, he mentioned it in his own time. He said, people start their salah and their minds are in the marketplace. Our minds are here, there and everywhere. And the hadith mentions, when a person starts his salah and he starts thinking about other things, the hadith mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَى خَيْرٍ مِنِّي إِلَى خَيْرٍ مِنِّي. What's he thinking about? Something better than me? Is he thinking about something better than me? You just said Allahu Akbar. And this is what is known as khushu' nifaq, as I spoke about yesterday. Khushu' nifaq is this. You just said Allahu Akbar, Allah the Great, Allah the Greatest. You just said that. That's what your tongue said. But your heart is actually somewhere else. If we really believed Allah is the greatest, Allah is great, nothing compares with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why is it for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, we cannot concentrate in our salah? Because the reality of that has not permeated this. And listen, a believer doesn't lie. A believer doesn't lie. And therefore, brothers and sisters, this is the state of many of us, but what we need to do is work on it. If we do our wudu well, if we read our Quran, you know, now we're going to come to iftar, yeah? So when you come to iftar, so many of us stuff ourselves. All day you remained hungry. And then come iftar, you let loose. Samosas, pakoras, kebabs. You ain't getting up for the masjid. Maghrib is delayed half an hour because, you know, you're waiting for your first burp. All day. And you know, somebody gave a comparison, and it's such a beautiful comparison. He said, this is the comparison of the dunya. All day you remain hungry, and then for this month, this bitter stomach, you have three, you're waiting for the food all day, and then you have three luqmas or whatever you have, and your stomach is full. He said, this is the pleasures of the dunya compared to the akhirah. So when we start our salah, we start with Allahu Akbar, and we believe what we are saying. Allah, I've thrown everything behind me, and you are my focus. And for those 5-10 minutes, brothers and sisters, let's endeavor to remain focused. I know it's called, as I said, I'm going to finish inshallah 40, so it's 41. So my apologies to especially my sisters. I've been getting it in the air from a few women folk that why have you had this course so late? If they have to make roti, if they have to make the smose, the pakore, the whatever, you know, they can't listen. My apologies, this was an oversight on our behalf, inshallah. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to pray a salah with khushu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fasting, and inshallah. So for those who need to go, inshallah, go. I've got a couple of questions which I'm gonna inshallah do. Okay, so basically, there's some questions about what's it called, Ustaz, is it incorrect to think about correcting your amal in salah, or should we just think about Allah in our salah? I don't know. In your salah, your concentration should be, you know, you should have khushu, your heart should be in salah, focus should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I did go through it in the four components of salah, and then your mind full of what you are reading. You know, you're thinking, you're contemplating. Inshallah, we will go through that tomorrow to a degree. I'm not sure how much of it I'll be able to go through. Your Surah Fatiha, etc. Yes, in Ramadan, you should pray with the Imam. Yeah, because this is speciality of Ramadan. So even if you are thinking about Qiyam al-Layl, wake up later on, you want to pray Tahajjud, that's fine. And you know, Ramadan is one time that there is no way that you should not be praying Tahajjud, because you are awake at Tahajjud time. Okay. Okay, many do wudu in the bathroom, toilet area. Can we still start with Bismillah if we are in such an environment? So basically what you do, if it's your home, not the bathroom, the bath will be here, the sink will be here, the toilet will be here. So you designate in your mind what is the toilet area. So when you enter that, then you read the dua for entering the toilet, leaving the toilet, and the other part is the wudu. Even if it's quite small, that's not an issue. Okay, now I knew this question was going to come up. Shaitan has been locked up in Ramadan. How come he's still playing around with us? Yeah. Now, there's a whole bahath which I don't really want to go about. Are all shaitans locked up? Is it major shaitans locked up, etc.? I'm not going to go into that. What I am saying is that shaitan has such an impact through us all year round that those characteristics are embedded in us. And this is why when you start your salah, you read A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Okay, the ulama say that you are seeking refuge from the characteristics, not just shaitan, the characteristics of shaitan. So for such a long time, shaitan has had a impact on us. Our nafs have an impact on us as well. You know, our whims and the desires, they're not gone. They're not locked up in the month of Ramadan. And therefore, that carries through into Ramadan itself. And there are some what they call discussions amongst the ulama. Are all shaitan locked up? Is it just major shaitan locked up? Etc. etc. What can we do to have more concentration in salah? Why have we been talking about the last three sessions? Yeah? Inshallah, you watch those three sessions, and even if you don't get a reply for that, then you can come back to me. I think what they call, my throat is quite dry last 3 days, speaking about trying to get more concentration in salah. Inshallah, we will carry on tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the last episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willing. Inshallah, I'm not sure if I'm going to finish, but I will record the session. Though if I can't finish it, I will record them. And for those who have registered, inshallah, we will send you out the link. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah. Brothers and sisters, do not forget me and my family in your du'as. And I have to say the family part, because when I got home, my children were saying, why didn't you say the family? So me, my family, the whole of Birmingham, the whole of England, the whole of the world, the entire ummah in your du'as. And even the non-Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them guidance. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Habib.